The booze-fueled office Christmas party is alive and well, but its future is shrouded in doubt. The ghost of drinking yet to come is visiting James Bond at its unhappy hour. According to Bloomberg, London's hospitality sector is booming amid intense demand as office Christmas parties come roaring back. Having been one of the most high-profile casualties of the pandemic, their return marks a brief respite in the ongoing titanic struggle to get people back in person. The dark days of festive remote Zoom cocktails, the CEO rocking a pair of spangly reindeer antlers, are now just a memory, and for good reason. Because truly great office Christmas parties are a bit like the 1960s. If you can remember them, then you probably weren't there. I personally bear the battle scars of parties which have subsequently passed not only into legend, but case law. So it cheers me up no end when I see the Christmas party torch held aloft, dropped in the gutter, thrown up over, lost, recovered by police divers, stitched up in A&E and submitted into evidence by a whole new generation. Digital natives they may be, but getting drunk on the company dime, photocopying your bum and getting off with somebody in the stationery cupboard apparently holds enduring intergenerational appeal. A big works do is a rite of passage, a great levelling, a unique bonding ritual that cements teams and friendships. There are no hard and fast rules for a great Christmas party. It can be at a swanky venue or the meeting room. There can be twiglets or a seven-course dinner or no food at all. It can involve two topless celebrities, a fire engine, and the entirety of Soho's Blue Watch, or not, although I can assure you it's way better when it does. The rule is there are no rules save one, and it is inviolable. There must, and I cannot emphasise this strenuously enough, must be booze. Not everyone has to drink, of course. The teetotal, the sober curious, and the religious abstainer are as integral to a good office Christmas do as the heavily refreshed. In fact, a smattering of sobriety is essential in order to provide a yardstick against which to measure the sheer outrageous folly of a proposed escapade, and so at least someone can remember what actually happened. But alcohol is a non-negotiable. Yes, you can all go to a museum or for a facial and a pedicure. You can bus everyone to Salisbury Plain for a treasure hunt while the army use you for target practice if you want, as long as when you're finished there is, in some shape or form, booze. But despite all evidence to the contrary, yet another survey from yet another recruitment consultant's yet another PR company is boldly claiming that thanks to Gen Z, the traditional booze-fueled office Christmas party, and indeed alcohol itself, could soon be a thing of the past. It put me in mind of a piece of tech developed by some clever researchers in Singapore a few years ago. Their device takes the pandemic-era idea of virtual cocktails to a whole new level. Booze without any, well, any. A future where the vocktail is ubiquitous seems dystopian indeed, so in the spirit of the season, or lack thereof, let us leave the ghost of drinking present and confront the ghost of drinking yet to come. With apologies to Ian Fleming and the warmest of wishes for Christmas and the new year to one and all. At Casino Royale in Montenegro, British spy James Bond 007, Licensed to Kill, is in the highest stakes poker game of his life. Bond watched Le Chiffre closely as he placed his cards on the table. The dealer's tone was even. A full house to Monsieur Le Chiffre, deuces full of nines. He turned to Mr. Bond. Mr. Bond? Fold. Bond had what he wanted, Le Chiffre's tell. Now he needed a drink. Send the barman over, please. The maitre d' materialised silently at Bond's shoulder and bowed low to take his order. A dry martini. Then he saw Vespa, and thanks to the dress she was wearing, more of Vespa than he'd ever seen before. It left little to the imagination, and Bond's was more than capable of filling in the blanks. He decided something stronger was in order. Wait, three measures of Gordon's, one of vodka, half a quina lille, shake it over ice and then add a thin slice of lemon peel. Felix Leiter's head bobbed up from his cards. My friend, bring me one as well. Keep the fruit. The maitre d' hesitated, his eyes squirming around like they were trying to escape. Actually, sir, what's the problem? Bond turned and fixed the maitre d' in a steely gaze. I'm not sure we have that on the app. The what? Bond watched as the maitre d' produced what looked like a small white plastic blender from behind him and placed it on the green baize of the poker table with a flourish. We don't have a bar any longer, sir. We have this. Bond swallowed hard. No bar, he said hoarsely. No, sir. Bond's knuckles whitened where he was gripping the rolled leather edge of the poker table. Le Chiffre's face twisted in a sadistic smile as the maitre d' plucked a martini glass from a hovering waiter and plonked it on top of the plastic device. This plays with sight, smell and taste to create an interactive drinking experience with virtual flavours. Within the device, there are three scent cartridges and three micro air pumps, which provide the aroma of the drink, which interacts with Sir's sense of smell and alters his perception of the taste of the beverage. Bond narrowed his eyes. Did Q send you? The maitre d' shook his head and continued his animated demonstration of the device on the table. There are smell chambers underneath this glass, so it takes about 1 second for the smell from the chamber to reach Sir's nostrils. In addition, Sir can vary the colour of the drink using these LEDs and the companion app. The system contains two silver electrodes here on the rim of the glass, which stimulate the tongue in order to give salty, bitter, or sweet taste while consuming the drink. And different magnitudes of current are used to stimulate the tongue for these different flavors. So 180 microamps for a sour taste, 40 microamps for a salty taste, and then 80 microamps for a bitter taste. So current tastes salty, brother, is that the deal? Felix Leiter leant across the table and regarded the device with interest. Bond had heard enough. He had a game of poker to win, and he didn't intend to do it sober. He grabbed the maitre d' by the lapels and pulled the man's face close to his. His own voice was low and threatening. Unless you want to find out how salty a Walter PPK tastes, I suggest you find me someone who can mix me a cocktail. Mr. Bond, I'm sorry, but this is all we have. Everyone drinks them now. It's a virtual cocktail, a vocktail. Bond abruptly released the man. He was already under investigation for sexually harassing Moneypenny. M had replaced his Aston Martin with a Renault Twizy and kept sending him eye roll emojis on WhatsApp. And to cap it all, the new tailored dinner suit Vesper had made him wear had an inside leg so parsimonious it was making his eyes water. Now he couldn't even get a martini at a poker game. He was rapidly coming to the conclusion that it was time to hang up his holster if his dinner trousers didn't beat him to it. So, are we ready to play poker now? Le Chiffre looked impatiently around the table, but no one took any notice. Bond picked up the machine and gave it a tentative rattle, to the consternation of the maitre d', who gently retrieved it and put it back on the poker table. Oh no, sir, there's no need to stir or shake. The maitre d' opened his hands around the vocktail. This 3D printed structure contains all the electronics necessary for multi-sensory stimulation, and it vibrates all on its own. Bond was about to reply when he felt Vesper Lind lean against his shoulder. The warmth of her bare flesh percolated through the mohair of his jacket. The message in her dramatic dark eyes was unmistakable. Bond hoped fervently that the dinner trousers hadn't permanently cramped his style. Vesper's elegantly manicured hand closed around the vocktail and a small smile played around her perfect lips. Then she looked back at the maitre d'. Can I get a bottle of chilled Bollinger Grand Anais and the Beluga caviar? The maitre d' inclined his head obediently. With everything? Yes, with everything. I'll have it sent up immediately. And would that be for two, madame? Bond noted the lasciviousness in Vesper's eyes. Then he realised she wasn't looking at him. She was looking at the vocktail, which had begun vibrating in her hand. No, for one, said Vesper crisply. And you'd better send up some more batteries, too. I've been K.D. Adamson. Thank you for your company. For more of this kind of nonsense, subscribe to the Future Jacking blog.